You're now listening to the A Place of Refuge Productive Living Podcast with Bishop Barry D. Walker. A Place of Refuge vision is to cause people to be productive in every aspect of life according to God's Word. For more information, please stop by our website at www.aplaceofrefugechurch.org. Now, here's today's message already in progress.
If you'll notice, the text took place in Iconium, a place at the time that was located in Asia Minor. And if you'll further notice, according to Acts 14 and 1, that something wonderful happened. The apostles had been speaking the word of God, and the word of God fell on good ground. And Jews and Greeks believed the gospel. They believed. Contextually, believe means that they receive the Lord or they committed their lives to God. And that's always a wonderful thing. I said that's always a wonderful thing. How many can recall when you heard the word and you believed and you committed your life to Jesus? Wasn't it wonderful? Because when you commit your life to Jesus, it says that a change has taken place for the better. A beginning has happened that's going to cause your life to be changed in ways you never dreamed of. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I heard the word and gave my life to Jesus. Some folks talk about how well I, when I was in the world, such. Are you saying that you were better off in the world? I'm glad I'm saved. And I'm glad I'm saved even though I go through trouble. Glad I'm saved even though things don't always work out the way I really desire them to work out. I love the fact that I have a Lord that loves me. I love the fact that I have somebody that has my best interest at hand. I love the fact that Jesus thinks enough about me to where he will use somebody to tell me the truth. Good God, tell one more person I'm glad I'm saved. Woo! And ask him or her, are you glad to be saved? Man, God gives you a high that marijuana can't give you. Gives you a high that does not lead to a hangover. Gives you a high that you may be on for days. That's the reason I tell folk, can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody do you like the Lord. I got anybody in here who believe that? You better help me then. Tell somebody, can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody do you like the Lord. Who else would have took the time to pull you out of your mess? Who else would have took the time to talk to you when everybody else had turned their back? Who else would have took the time to raise you up and to bless you and make you a sign for others to see? Man, it ain't nobody like Jesus. That's the reason folk be trying to get you to change sides. I ain't changing no sides. I'm committed to Jesus for the rest of my life. I'm committed to the Lord. Even if I mess up, you ain't gonna cause me to get away from him. Because again, can't nobody but nobody but nobody do you like Jesus. Give your God a big hand of praise if you know that to be true. Now, when folk get saved, you have folk that send up hallelujahs, say praise the Lord, say thank you, Jesus. And you have family members that will turn in victory and get to leaping like they have lost their mind through joy. You know what I'm saying? You get beside yourself to the point to where you just happy because your cousin done got saved. Your son that was a crack addict done got saved. Your nephew who used to steal from you every weekend done got saved. You are a happy person because of the person that got saved. Or the persons that got saved. How many can identify? You're happy. I know my mama was happy when I got saved. Even though she wasn't saved at the time. She thought she was. Hey, mama. I know she was happy. How many can name at least one person that was happy when you got saved? Look at the hands around. Hold them hands up for a minute. And I know you were happy because you know you were a mess, but it was somebody else that was happy. Some folks can say, you know, my children were so happy because they had seen me for years just as a drunk. And when I gave my life to God and they seen that I had gave up the alcohol, they were happy. People get happy when other folk get saved. And that's the way it should be. Should be happy. If a backslider comes up here today to be restored, everybody should be happy. If you Christian. And even if you know in Christian, if you know, man, that boy changing his life, that's wonderful. It's just a time for everybody to be happy. And no doubt, back during the days of the apostles, specifically, based on the text when they were in Iconium, when Jews and Greeks received Christ or believed on him, folk were happy, clapping, leaping, dancing, and so forth. But you can have folk happy, but then you're going to also have that other group. Going to be mad because somebody got saved. I didn't see nothing wrong with him taking a drink. What are you talking about? He's saved. What's wrong with him taking a drink? Well, he was already in the church. Oh, just because he went to that church, now he's saved. He'd been in the church. I know based upon their standards that she was a sinner, but I always thought she was good people. Because you know if you going to heaven, all you got to do is love everybody. You treat everybody right, you going to heaven. So what? She was treating everybody right. She didn't have to become sanctified. You have folk that get upset when people change their lives. Yeah. You even have family members that get upset when a wino, crackhead, thief receives Jesus. They're talking about, oh, now you done. Clean yourself up a little bit. So now you think you can tell us what to do. You know, because when you get saved, you want everybody to get saved. You be witnessing to everybody. But you have folk that don't like the fact that God changed your life, and you get to trying to tell them how he can change their life, they'll tell you, hey, look, you need to keep that to yourself. I'm all right the way I am. I've been in the church. You the one that needed some help. They think they are all right the way they are. But see, you can be in the church headed straight to hell. You can be in the church and be religious but not a believer. See, because you have to understand that the text not only took place in Iconium, but it took place in a synagogue, a place of worship, specifically a place where Jews worship. But get this, there are folk in synagogues and churches that say they believe in God, but will not receive the teaching of Jesus. You take that, there are folk here this morning say they love Jesus, but there are certain things that I can teach out of this Bible, which is the word of God or Jesus, that they will get upset about. You take some folk, yeah, I believe in Jesus, but you get to talk about tithe. Woo-hoo, good God. Well, if you believe in Jesus, why are you mad about the tithe? If you believe in Jesus, why are you mad about repentance? Why are you mad that he said if you got a trouble with your brother or sister to get it right? Why are you upset because he said lay aside the sin or the weight that does so easily beset or hinder you? You have folk in the church that say they love Jesus, but don't want all of the word. Even though in Matthew 4:4, Jesus said, man shall not live by food or bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from God, the written and the spoken. Whatever God puts on the table, receive it. And some things that the Lord puts on the table are going to do as the old folks say, step on your toes. You can be the preacher. You can be the messenger. But there are some things going to step on everybody's toes, including the preacher. And so folks were believing, but notice the text specifically identifies Jews that didn't believe, attending the synagogue, but didn't believe. Just like you have Christians attend church, but don't believe everything to the point to where they say old sayings like, you ever treat the word of God or the preacher like fish? Get the meat but throw the bone away. Don't y'all look like that? Y'all done heard that. And that's contrary to what I just read, Matthew 4:4. You live by every word that comes from God. The hard word, the gentle word, does not matter. Live by every word that comes from God. But these folks were unbelievers. Unbelievers, but attending church. Can I tell you something? One of the biggest problems I have here at a place of refuge is dealing with people that want to believe the way they see a passage. Pastor, I heard you preach that, but I believe, hold on now. God gave the church shepherds in order to feed the people of God with knowledge and understanding. Hold on now. You've been reading them little commentaries. And when it comes to the gospel, according to Romans 1:16-17, the gospel is the righteousness of God, which is revealed from faith to faith. Revelation gonna come through the word. And revelation gonna come, and it's going to bring something out of a text that your commentary didn't tell you. Gonna bring something out of the text that your mind will not be able to comprehend unless you open yourself up to receive what thus saith God. Jesus threw a revelation about being born again on a man that had been in church for years, Nicodemus. And when he threw the revelation about being born again to Nicodemus, Nicodemus looked at Jesus and said, how can this be? He didn't understand the revelation. He was a believer in God, but he didn't understand the revelation of God. And you have folk in the church that want to believe, but only the way they see it. But see, you have to connect yourself to the Spirit of God to the point to where you identify yourself, or you present yourself as a follower, and not somebody that's trying to debate, resist, or give your own opinion. You just be a follower, and as the revelation of God comes forth, you receive the revelation of God based upon, yes, the written word, but based upon the gift that God has placed in your life. If God gave you a gift such as a pastor, he's not giving you a pastor to destroy you. According to James 1:17, every gift that comes from God is, number one, good. Number two, perfect. Good being beneficial. Perfect means suitable. And so the apostles were trying to be a blessing to the people of Iconium, but you had unbelieving Jews, or folks that wanted to believe the scripture the way they wanted to believe the scripture, fighting the authentic word of God. Say to your neighbor, the one thing you never should fight is the word of God, written or revealed. Because God will send it, making sure that it's line upon line. Making sure that the person he uses to put it forth has been studious in doing all that needs to be done before he or she delivers the message. And get this. The unbelieving Jews were to the point to where they were so upset about people receiving Christ, to where they started stirring up stuff. To stir up in the text means causing trouble. Yeah, you have troublemakers in the church. Say, your neighbor, you have troublemakers. Finish it. And some troublemakers have a title. Some troublemakers been in the church a long time. So they start stirring up trouble in the church. Stirring up stuff. Because they mad because folk got saved. Mad because folk were receiving the word and getting happy. They not only started stirring up stuff. Notice the text says in Acts 14 and 2 that they start poisoning the minds of the Gentiles. They were like, we ain't gonna mess with our fellow Jews, but we got to poison the mind of these Gentiles. And the sad thing, some of them were babes, had just received and started believing the word. And isn't it sad when you have an old church person that a babe likes to be around, and that old church person just poisoning the mind of that babe in Christ? See, biblically, a babe is to desire the sincere milk of the word in order to grow. But it's hard for a baby to grow when an old wrinkled. Say to your neighbor, it's hard for a babe to grow when an old saint is poisoning his or her mind. Yeah, girl, I want to school you about some stuff. You in church now, but I'm going to tell you, the folk you need to hang with and the folk you don't need, where you need to be number one on the list. Just go ahead and tell them the number one person don't hang with me, because I ain't nothing but a mess. That's the reason I'm spreading gossip with you right now, because I ain't nothing but a mess. Folk are poisoning your mind in the church. Yeah, see that old deacon, he always getting up talking about the tithe. He just love to go Malachi 3. And he should love to go to Malachi 3. That's the primary verse that lets folks know how to get out of a curse and receive the blessings of God. Yeah, that's prophetess so-and-so. She loved to pray. She loved to seek God. You got to watch her. She'll have you in church all the time. She should be trying to keep a babe in the church at all times. Because, again, as a babe in Christ, a babe needs to desire the sincere milk of the word in order to grow. Folk can poison the minds of people. And some are trying to do it through being deep. God has highly blessed me spiritually. I'm able to see what others don't see. Kaya-ya. And God is showing me about you. He gonna use you for his glory. But this is what you can't do. You can't hang with. Oh, ha, kata. Stay away from. and see a babe like, oh, Lord, this prophet is so-and-so. I got to receive what she's saying. Yeah, that may be prophetess. And she may operate in that gift the way she should most of the time. But every now and then, she poisoned folk. She said, what? Folk be coming to me and my what somebody done said. I be like, she said, what? Well, she was wrong by that. But maybe she just ate something and it just... She a good person, but that wasn't right. Or maybe she didn't explain it the way she needed to explain it. So don't you receive that. Because you don't want to cut nobody, but you can't let a babe be confused. Because that's not a God thing. Because according to the book of 1 Corinthians, the 14th chapter, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. Get this, in the church. It never needs to be to the point to where a mature child of God poisons a babe. Somebody that's just getting in the church. Sometimes I just want to tell folk that, look, you don't need to just hang with anybody. Make the church your first priority. Be here so you can grow. Be here so you can learn. And as mature saints, we should know the necessity of not talking a whole bunch of foolishness around folk that just come into Christ. Is that true? But then you have folk in the church that have been in the church for a long time, but you have people that can easily poison their minds. Been in the church 10 years, but still allow somebody to say something to you that's stupid, that's in contrast to scripture. In contrast to the spirit of the house, but you still allow it to affect your mind. I've been in church a while. Ain't that amazing? Whenever you hear an old saint that's been in church for a while that says things like, well, you know, I heard... And I'm just wondering. You too old to be hearing and wondering. You too old to be here and what you talking about? You heard and you want. You too old for that. You've been in church long enough to know that if you done heard something that you need to investigate if need be to make sure that if it's something that shouldn't be said is killed. Or if it's something that needs to be straightened out, that you get it to the proper people that need to straighten it out instead of hearing it and being messy with it. But there are old saints that can be poisoned by somebody and they start using what they done heard in a messy way. I don't know if it's true or not, but did you hear? You too old for that. What are you talking? You too old for that. You didn't just get saved 6 months ago. You've been here since noon and roll. You ain't got no business. It was to the point in Galatia to where Paul had to ask an entire congregation, who done bewitched you? And Paul knew it was one person. One person. One person. It could be your girlfriend. Your fiance. Your boyfriend. Your beau. Does not matter. Don't allow anyone to poison your mind. To start making you think in crazy ways. Because see, poison will cause your mind to be mixed up. That's how to start. But then before it's over, you will start perishing. Because poison kills. Poison destroys. You'll start being mixed up at first. And then the next thing you know, you'll start heading down a path of destruction. Who done poisoned your mind? And see, the apostles recognized that the unbelieving Jews were poisoning the minds of the Gentiles. And if you'll notice contextually, they had the antidote, which was speaking the word of God boldly, such as I'm doing right now. And so, it wasn't like they could minister one message and all the poison would be gone. Look at what the text says. They had to continue. They had to stay in a city. They had to stay longer than they really desired to stay in order to try to get folks' mind right who unbelievers had poison. And sometimes God will have me on a subject for a while because he's saying, I need you to keep dealing with this. I need you to keep saying this because some of them still won't allow the word of God to get engrafted in their heart. See, because you have a choice. You can either receive the word of God or reject it. You can either live right or live wrong. God ain't gonna make you live right. And guess what? Walker ain't gonna try to make you live right. I'll preach the word to you. I'll tell you how to do step 1, 2, and 3. I'll tell you how to do A, B, and C. But I can't live it for you. But if I know you're trying to operate in ministry with a poison mind, you got to come down. Can't let you be a deacon with a poison mind. Can't let you be an elder with a poison mind. Can't let you be in the choir and your mind is poison. You don't want to know whether you want to be saved or a lesbian. I can't let you get in the choir. Your mind messed up. You receiving the offering, but don't know if you believe in tithing or not. No, you got to come down being a deacon. Matter of fact, give us the paper back. Because see, you have a choice. Once the word comes forth to deliver your mind, to make your mind free, you have a choice to receive it, be delivered, and move forward. But when you reject the word of God, God himself will reject you. Use the prophet to say, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. But then he turned around and broke it down. He said, because they have rejected knowledge. And he said, because you have rejected me a knowledge, I will also reject you, and you shall be no priest for me. You're not going to minister in my church, and you're rejecting what I'm telling you to do. Say to your neighbor, don't let nobody poison your mind. I don't care if it's the person you say to in private or public, I love you. Don't let nobody poison your mind. I don't care if it's your hanging buddy. If you go anywhere, you with him or her, don't allow anybody to poison your mind. I don't care if it's your mama, your boo. I don't care if it's your cousin. I don't care if it's your Uncle Bobby. I don't care if it's your Aunt Sally Mae. Don't let nobody poison your mind. I don't care if it's a jackleg preacher. I don't care if it's a preacher that claimed to be anointed. Don't allow anybody to poison your mind. I had a person that was at the church that tried to tell me particular things that were going on during the service, really trying to poison my mind as a pastor. And I just asked the president, well, how in the world are you sitting over there just earning all this stuff when you're supposed to be receiving the word of God? I said, you're messing. I said, don't come to me with something like this again, because I don't deal with messy folk, period. And so then the person tried to see me again. And I told somebody to tell them, look, tell them I ain't seeing them no more. I said, don't be nice. Just tell them I ain't seeing them no more. Because I don't deal in no whole bunch of foolishness. Get this, when you know better. It's one thing not to know better, but when you know better, but you still want to deal in a whole lot of foolishness, you don't allow somebody to poison your mind. My family will tell you that I don't deal with foolishness. I said my family. Armor bearers will tell you who are with me that I don't deal with foolishness. They'll tell you about pastors that I have completely cut off because I couldn't deal with the foolishness. I'm not going to allow somebody to poison my mind to the point to where it's going to cause me to start thinking in a way that will cause destruction to set in. Because see, some poisons, they work on you little by little. Killing you little by little. Just constantly killing you. You come to church, can't receive the word because your mind is on something else. You done been poisoned. God's sending you a word to deliver you, but your mind crossed town. Your mind on your boo. Your mind on something else. I hear what pastor's saying, but such as a you done been infected. And see, this is the strange thing right here. Even though the apostles stayed in Iconium for a while, an extended stay, when all was said and done. And get this, the people were divided. Now, they done stayed there specifically to get folks delivered from having a poison mind. But after all that teaching and preaching, some still chose to stay infected. To deal with crazy folk. To deal with unbelievers. Did you know that happened in the church? You can be preaching the word of God, just preaching and preaching and preaching. And folks, I need to see the pastor. And they want to see you. And they act like they ain't heard one thing you done said. And you be like, you been attending church every Sunday, right? Yeah. Why in the world are you coming in here with this question? And I've been dealing with it for months. This strong teaching ain't it? This touchy teaching too. Look at the text. Look at that fourth verse. Half of them decided to go with the unbelievers, and half with the apostles. Ain't nobody gonna convince me not to follow the man of God, the word of God. Oh no, you ain't gonna poison my mind. As close as I am to folk, I ain't too close to nobody I won't cut loose. I said, I ain't too close to nobody I won't cut loose. And if somebody trying to poison my mind, hey, here go my scissors. Here go my razor. Let me cut this off right.
Thank you for listening to the A Place of Refuge Productive Living Podcast with Bishop Barry D. Walker. Please stop by our website for more information on our church at www.aplaceofrefugechurch.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly.